You're listening to the Sound of Faith podcast, coming to you from FBF.
Oh,
Faith Baptist Fellowship.
I like that.
FBF. In beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
And our aim, what's our aim, Pastor Mike? What are we doing here?
We want to talk about Jesus.
We do. We do.
So that Christians will wear the good doctrine.
Yeah. Our official aim, encouraging the saints of our church, Faith Baptist Fellowship, and of course, anyone else who's listening, to believe sound doctrine, to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I didn't want to steal that line.
No, it's okay. That's our thingy. That's our
I love it.
Our zippy little tag that we do.
From Titus.
But it's good. It's good to have that focus of what we want to be all about. We want to take biblical topics. We want to take things that are important to believers, and we want to talk about them in light of Scripture and help people see them, understand them, explore them a little bit more.
At the end of the day, we just want to be helpful like pastors are supposed to be. You know, we want to help people follow Christ and put him on.
Yeah, absolutely. Couple of quick housekeeping things. You know, summer's here. We did our podcast a couple weeks ago on Don't Waste Your Summer. Got a lot of great feedback about that.
Yeah,
people
I did
too. Said that
yeah.
they appreciated that. Yeah. But with the summer months, sometimes comes, you know, a little coming and going, different schedules, things like that. So for the next 2 weeks, we're actually not going to have shows. You're going to be off.
That's right.
At a student conference speaking.
Yeah, camp. A camp. Yep.
Yep. And then the week after that, I'm going to be at a student conference helping to counsel. And so because of that, what we're trying to do is just let you know ahead of time there won't be any episodes the next 2 weeks. We'll come back, we'll do a little bit more, and then we're going to take a little break for the end of the summer and then launch into the fall with more episodes. We want to keep this going.
And in the meantime, you can submit thoughts about what you'd like us to talk about, topics, potential things that you'd like, where you'd like this show to go.
Yeah, we'd love,
questions.
And we just got a recommendation the other day. Someone asked us, can we do a podcast on giving, Christian generosity and giving?
Absolutely.
And I think that would be a great one to bring up here in the next couple weeks. So we appreciate that. But today, we have a wonderful topic. I'm excited about talking about it. How can Christians show hospitality?
It's a good topic.
What is hospitality? What does the Bible have to say about it? You know, all of those things like that. And so let's just jump right in. What is hospitality?
Sure. You know, I think sometimes we think of hospitality and we think just the surface level, having people in your home, having people to dinner. And I do think those are expressions of hospitality, but I think it's more. I think if I were to, I didn't think of a encapsulated definition for this topic, but I think I would say something like the spirit of Christian welcoming that is interested in meeting the needs of other people and concerned about somebody else's well-being and the things that they need. So I think that would be, and that'll take on a lot of different expressions depending on your station in life, you know, whether that means having people in your home, spend the night, you know, seeing, you know, traveling Christians, you know, are comfortable when they're in your town, you know, those kind of things. Or it could be different. Like it could be, it could be very different depending on where you're at and what your life looks like.
Yeah, and I hope as we explore this, we see some of those different examples of what that means. You know, we have in our world, we have the hospitality industry. And when people who work in that industry think of it, you know, you're thinking the hotels, the restaurants, things like that. And there's some overlap with that, but I think there can be broader application to what hospitality looks like in the life of a Christian.
I was just thinking the opposite. Like if you think of being inhospitable, you know, like if I'm inhospitable, I'm not welcoming. You don't feel free to, you know what I mean? I'm not welcoming you into my space and to encourage you and to help you meet your needs and those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pushing you back. That's being inhospitable, right? And so we're called as Christians to be hospitable.
Hospitable, very good. Well, then, what then does the Bible have to say about this? Does the Bible say anything about Christian hospitality?
Yeah, it does. It does all over. And I'll just mention two. You can mention more. One is like a requirement for elders. Like an elder is to be hospitable. Like you know, that's part of the qualifications. You know, so if you think about all the things that an elder is called to, and you know, as I've said many times when we've talked about the the requirements or the qualifications of elders, the most remarkable thing about them is that they're not remarkable. It's like the normal Christian life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think hospitality is like that too. It's the normal Christian life. Christians are called to love one another. And, you know, Philippians 2, the hymn that we're about to get into in our Sunday morning sermons soon about, you know, looking after the needs of others. Hebrews 13 about being hospitable to strangers, all of those kind of things.
Yeah, I jotted down just a few verses here. I mean, Romans 12, 13. So these are verses that explicitly talk about hospitality. There's other verses that allude to it, you know, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality, Romans 12, 13. 1 Timothy 5, 10, you know, what the one you just referred to about elders, one of the qualifications for elders, has shown hospitality.
Yep.
Has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted himself to every good work. Hebrews 13, the one you said, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. 1 Peter 4, 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Mm. So it's very important.
Yeah, it's and huge.
I love how you tied in there Philippians chapter 2, that really the disposition of Christ himself is so important to that understanding of hospitality.
It really is a perspective. Like you're looking outward and you're aware of the needs and that other people might have, and you're going out of your way to kind of over your own needs to try to help them. And a lot of times that does mean welcoming them into your space, like your personal space, your home and your office, or your, you know, spending time with them, you know. And the opposite of all of those things is you just, you know, caring about your own thing, you know, caring about what's in, and really not having time for anyone else.
So as we get into this discussion today, I can see us making two points of application. First, there's going to be hospitality among the body of Christ to our Christian brothers and sisters, and then hospitality to our neighbors who may not be believers. And I want to tie that, I want to go back, I'm going to bring out the invisible bottle of spicy sauce here real quick and ask a question. You know, you use that term welcoming, and that's kind of a catchword today among more progressive churches. Oh, they'll say welcoming and affirming.
Yeah.
Does welcoming mean affirming of sin?
No.
Of course
and
it does.
I'm using it a completely
I'm
different way.
I'm asking that rhetorically, obviously.
Yeah. I'm using it completely, and you know that. Welcoming as in... man, come into my space.
Yeah,
you know, come into my space, and it's a welcoming that's true to the gospel, that wants to see Christ exalted and his word honored and all of those things.
Can we be welcoming to someone with whom we vehemently disagree about something important?
Yeah, I think we can to an extent. You know, like to an extent that it's not affirming. You know,
so, yes.
You know, like if we can show them the kind of Christian love that we're called to without saying something very unloving, like your sin's okay, don't worry about it. You keep walking that way. If that's the way you feel or that's the way your heart is tugged, then it's okay. You know, that's not loving, and that's not even hospitable, actually.
Yeah,
and it's not even welcoming, not in the Christian sense.
Yeah, and not to jump too far ahead, because this is in the notes here in a few minutes, as we're going to talk about showing hospitality to even unbelievers and what that means. Yeah. But I think I just want to make that point of clarification before we jump forward. So hospitality, we talk about welcoming people in, and practically that can look like inviting people into your home for coffee, to come over game night for a meal, stay the night. What if someone says, you know, hospitality is really not my gift? We talk about people having the gift of hospitality, and sometimes you just see that. There's people who are just so welcoming, always having people over. They just open their home up. They fling the doors open. And then some people are like, I just don't naturally have that bent.
Right.
Am I off the hook?
No, and we're often called to do things that bring us out of our comfort zone, and you know some people are going to for sure be more gifted at this than others, and I acknowledge that and affirm that, and I've seen that. But I think it's easy to hide behind, well, that's not my natural inclination, you know. Well, we're Paul and others, the writer of Hebrews, they felt it necessary to command this, you know, and when that's because it doesn't naturally happen, you know. And even if it's your gift, it doesn't naturally happen. You know, it's the Spirit of God at work moving you.
Yeah.
And you can trust that same Spirit, even if you're not just generally gifted in hospitality, you can trust that same Spirit that gives that gift to help you to be able to do this. And so if you feel this, if you feel like that's not my bent, my encouragement would be to pursue it with all your heart.
Yeah.
You know, like, not that you have to make it your bent, but it's just harder for you to do it, and you're still called to it.
I think there's times in our lives that there are things we're called to do that might come more easily to some, but just take more discipline yes. for others to learn. You know, when we talk about the spiritual gifts, and I think one of the things that we misunderstand about that sometimes is we might be gifted in a particular way. That does not necessarily mean we're off the hook for all of the other gifts that are out there.
Right on.
I'm looking here at Romans chapter 12, and you know, starting at verse 3, Paul is talking about the grace given to me to say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Then he goes into some of the gifts of the body that are given, and so he talks about different gifts being given according to the grace that's given in proportion of faith. And so then he mentions service in, you know, serving. So the gift of service. Does that mean if you don't have the gift of service, you never have to serve?
Right.
Of course,
right.
Of course not.
Or evangelism.
Yeah. And giving and generosity.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't have the gift of generosity. That means I never have to give, or I never have to be generous. So it's important to remember there might be something that is not our natural bent, like hospitality. But we're still called to be hospitable.
We're called to be hospitable.
And so we might have to learn, you know, a little bit more, discipline ourselves more to do that.
And, you know, the really great thing is, and the comfort in it all, is that you can rely on, you know, God commands us to do impossible things, but he grants what he commands.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you feel that's not your bent and that it's way out of your comfort zone and you just struggle to do it, my encouragement is pursue it with all your heart, trusting the Lord that he will give you what you need to obey his command.
Good word. Yeah. The Lord will enable us to
I think I stole that
things.
From Augustine, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
You're allowed to steal from Augustine. That's
public domain already.
It's a long time ago. Yeah, so as Christians, we're all called to hospitality. Yeah. Some might stand out in their ability and their joy in doing that. But we're all called to be hospitable. So then, now, we've spoken of some of them, but let's expand upon it a little bit. What are some of the practical ways we can show hospitality to people? Let's start really small and maybe expand.
Okay.
If we can.
What do you mean by really small? Why don't you start with...
Like, what's a simple thing to do to show hospitality?
Oh, turn and face somebody when they went to say hi to them.
Yes.
You know, like, instead of this... hey, how are you doing as you keep going, like on a Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Stop, face them, actually care about what's going on in their life and ask them, like in the Christian greeting way, so that they all feel like they're in your space and they can share with you what's going on in their life. That's simple.
Yeah, like, very simple.
Turn, face them. Your body language speaks a lot. You know, the just stop and say, hey, brother, how was your week? What's going on in your life these days? And how can I be praying for you? That's hospitable. You know, that's... And you can do that right in the lobby of the church, you know, on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And make them feel welcome. Make this Christian feel welcome.
You can, in that moment, if they have something for prayer, actually pray for them right then.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Don't be embarrassed by that.
We're talking about this at our elder meeting this last week. No one ever has said to me, no, you can't pray for me right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I've never left a meeting where I have prayed in that moment for that person, feeling like, man, I shouldn't have done that. But I've left lots of them thinking, I wish I would have prayed, you know? Yeah. So that's a good thing. That's showing hospitality. And what you're doing in that moment is you're overlooking your own needs, right? Mm, and you're thinking about the needs of that brother or sister in Christ.
Yeah. I'll add to that. We have here at Faith what we call our hospitality ministry, and it's intended for our Sunday morning gathering. And we have people who greet, help open the door, help greet there in the lobby, or ushering and doing all of those things like that. And the point of that is you're just making people feel welcome, helping them to know where the coffee is, if they need a restroom, how to sign up their kids for Sunday school, all of those things. And so if you're not on that team, though, okay, here at Faith, or what if you're listening from a different church, be looking for new faces that come into your church on a Sunday morning. And greet them.
And invite them to sit next to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, those kind of things. You know, that's hospitality. I mean, it's, you're in a public place, you're not in, in your, around your dinner table, but that's hospitality. Like, if you welcome me in, say I'm visiting and you welcome me in, and, you know, I feel like I don't know anyone and this is weird and I don't have anyone to talk to and I'm just going to stand here by myself. But then somebody comes up and says, hey, you know, what's your name? And, you know, hey, why don't you sit with me during the service, you know, and that kind of thing. Man, that could make me feel like I'm at home, and that's hospitable.
Yeah, I'm going to offer one little practical point of application here, because I've heard people say this before. I feel embarrassed because someone's maybe visited one or two times. I know they introduced themselves to me, but I forgot their name.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I have to say about that, and this is what I do all the time, and no one has ever, you know, written me off because I did this. I'll go up to them, I'll shake their hand, and I say, I know we met a couple weeks ago. I'm sorry. Remind me of your name. Nobody's going to bristle at that.
That's
you know?
Better than avoiding the person.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fail falling forward.
Right.
You know, when it comes to hospitality. Yeah. Like, really go out of your way to try to. So that's one way we could have them for coffee, you know, like in this culture, lunch is a thing, you know. Having lunch with people, I think, can be hospitable. I mean, just expanding from just the Christian greeting to other things that we can do. I saw a brother on Sunday. He had walked all the way. I think it was last Sunday. It was kind of rainy, right?
Yeah.
And he had walked all the way from his car to the church, and he turned around and he saw an elderly saint getting out of her car and struggling to get her. She had one of those walker things, you know, to help her walk. And he could tell she was struggling, and he walked all the way back in the rain and helped her.
Yeah.
That's hospitality.
That is hospitality.
It's lovely to see.
I think it's important to point these things out, because sometimes people might think hospitality means you prepare a feast or a banquet at your home and you invite over 35 people.
Yeah.
And that can be hospitality.
Sure.
But, you know, the simple things that we do going through our day and among the body of Christ, that we want to show hospitality in those things. And then we can expand upon that as God gives us the ability. And so moving up from some of those examples, there is going out to coffee or having lunch with somebody or getting together two families in a park while their kids play on the playground and they visit and talk.
Yeah.
Opening up your home, having a family over. One of the things that, you know, I've heard people say before, we have kids and our house is constantly a mess. You know, it's hard to keep it clean, toys scattered everywhere, and so we kind of feel embarrassed having people over. Well, if that's the case, then meet them out in a park, you know, or, you know, go out to eat if you can do that. I tell you, we've had people over to our house before. We haven't had time to cook. We grab Little Caesar's pizza. I mean, it's so cheap.
Yeah.
But the kids love it. You know, there's simple things. You can think simply. You can think simply about hospitality. It does not have to be grandiose when you pursue it.
But I'd encourage you, if you don't practice it with your home and you can, you should try.
Yes.
Like, you should try this. Again, fail falling forward. One of the great things that's happened in the church in the last 10 years is the movement kind of sparked, or the conversation sparked, by Rosaria Butterfield's book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key.
Mm.
The way that book was handed around in churches, it was so helpful. Now, not everyone can go everywhere where Rosaria Butterfield did with the way that she expressed hospitality, you know, with just the complete open door policy and all of that kind of thing. But if it could encourage you, that's a great book to read. If it could encourage you to use your home and your dinner table as a way to show Christian hospitality, then I think it's a great read.
I think, honestly, you know, you say fail falling forward. If you want to open up your home, or if you have an opportunity for someone to come over, and you're like, just tell them. The kids have been playing all day.
Yeah.
There's Legos all over the floor. There's, there's leftover corn dog in the trash can. Just come over. And you know what? If they're a young parent too, they will probably feel the same way.
And they understand.
They'll feel good about that.
Yeah.
You know? So don't be embarrassed by those things. And then there's times where we can really, open up our homes in maybe deeper ways and inviting people to stay with us.
Yeah.
And, really tie into our family and all of those things like that. So there's levels to this.
And it's really inconvenient to have someone stay in your home, especially for, say, a week or something like that. And that's the whole point. You know, yeah. It's much easier for me when, if you've been a guest in my home and you're listening to this, this is no dig on you, you know, but it's much easier for me when I have no guests. Like, it's much easier when we're just ourselves and we don't have to, you know. But we have been so blessed as Christians by the house guests that we've had. And, you know, even since we've been here, we've had a steady stream. And it's the fellowship, the encouragement that can happen in that scenario, you know, yes, it's inconvenient, but it's so good, you know? Yeah. And I'm blessed by it, even though I'm trying to bless them. I'm always blessed. They leave my home, you know, and I feel my heart swells with joy for, you know, for the time with them.
Yeah. So good. So those are just some practical ways. There are little things that are done day in, day out when we come together on Sundays. And then we can expand upon that and use what God has given us to bless others and show hospitality to those. Now, so we said before, there's kind of two ways we can look at that. At this. There's hospitality among the body of Christ, and the Bible speaks of that, showing hospitality to the saints. But then there's also showing hospitality to strangers.
Yes.
And I think we can expand that to say showing hospitality to our neighbors. So when we're talking specifically about the church family, we've hit upon this a little bit already, but is there a approach that we take when we're showing hospitality to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that's going to be distinct from how we show it to neighbors and unbelievers?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's almost in your question, like the word brother.
Yeah.
Like it's the way you show hospitality to your family as opposed to the way you show hospitality to somebody who's not your family and visiting, you know. I think there's an especial, like especially the household of God. I think we should be more concerned with the household of God because this is the people of God. This is our family. You know, this is, but we are called to show hospitality, and a lot of that is evangelistic. A lot of that is to the world. You know, to people. Yeah, our neighbors.
Yeah,
you know, unbelievers, believers.
I say among Christians, it can take upon a. And sometimes a distinctly discipling component. And what I mean by that, it can be older Christian to younger Christian, displaying the gospel, displaying the family dynamic, trying to teach and instruct through that and show love, but also a mutual component to discipleship. When we get together as brothers in Christ, we sharpen one another. We encourage one another in the faith, and we grow. And I just think of some wonderful times that I've had in that context also.
Yeah. You know, I'm traveling this weekend, but there's somebody on my block doing a block party, and we're so bummed we're going to miss it, you know, just because of the opportunity it is to have hospitality with one another, bring some burgers and, you know, and so we're thinking about doing that, you know, just doing a little block party, inviting everybody who lives on our little street to come over who want to, you know, and just to get to know them and show them hospitality. And you know, on the mission field, and I know you can probably relate with this, I could observe, I was in leadership there in Russia, and I could observe how different mission teams worked and functioned. They were all in cities where I was in our context. And those who opened their homes were way more effective. I know this is anecdotal, but just in my observation, they were always more effective than those who had like a closed door policy and tried to meet people elsewhere and didn't want to invite people into their home. Those who opened their homes saw relationships deeper, you know, the evangelism was more effective, the gospel took root, you know, because people could see how people do their life, you know, and it was just better, you know. So we really encouraged people to open their homes.
It's interesting, and I don't want to go down this road too far, but, you know, we noticed that too in Russia, and it was interesting. There's a little bit different dynamic between life in the cities and life in the villages and the small towns. But hospitality is very important in that culture, and in a lot of cultures, it's very important. I think it's important in our culture.
I do, too.
I think it looks a little different, but I think part of one of the dangers that's out there in our fast-paced social media digital culture is that the whole concept of the pop-in has kind of gone out the door. Mm. You know, the idea of stopping by someone's house because you need something or you just want to pay a visit. And we're kind of losing that because now we think in terms of inconveniencing others and stuff like that. And we have to be much more intentional about preserving hospitality in our culture, because if we're not careful, we can dispel with it all together and, yep. and just never open up our home, never be inviting, never get together with people.
Yeah, you know, I have to push back on that
okay.
sense of, on that, not on what you said, on
oh.
that sense of being...
thought you were going to disagree with me.
No, I agree with you totally, 100%. I want to push back on that sense of being inconvenienced, you know what I mean? Because yeah. If I have a pop by and I'm doing something, right? I got something going and I can find myself looking at my watch, wondering when they're going to go, you know, like not wanting to ask questions because that might prolong it. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Instead of
yeah.
just saying, just sitting there and putting everything aside and thinking, okay, for my love for Christ and my love for this person, I'm going to just care about them.
Put your phone on, do not disturb.
Yeah, and just talk.
Yeah.
You know, like you can get back to whatever you're doing later and maybe God will use this in a powerful way in that person's life and bless you besides.
Yeah, yeah. Good word. Thanks for saying that. So among Christians, there is a caring, loving, even discipleship component to the hospitality that we show. Now, let's talk about with our neighbors who may not be Christians.
Right.
Let's talk about with unbelievers. When, you know, how does that look?
I think we're still, the aim is the same. It's just at a different level, right? Mm. I still want to show them the love of Christ, right? So I want to show them that love by loving them, you know? So here's a small little example, and I hate almost saying it because it almost makes me the hero in it, but I just did it. You know, my neighbor is kind of older. He didn't mow his lawn. I'm mowing my lawn, and I thought, you know what? He doesn't care about how it looks, obviously, you know, so I'm just going to help him. And I mowed his lawn, you know, and I just did it, you know, and I was so blessed just by doing that. And then when I talked to him and he was happy about it, it was good. And I was just doing it to show him Christian love.
Yeah.
You know, just to show him, because it's harder for him to push a mower, and I just want to be there for him, you know, and I think Christians are called to that.
Yeah.
I think we are, you know.
I agree completely. I think we're called to show hospitality to our neighbors. We're called to love our neighbors as ourselves.
I will say though, if your neighbor yeah. cares about how his lawn looks, you have to be careful because he might not like you.
He might not, mowing. Yeah, be careful with yeah. that. You know, there's times in which you can really, you know, as God opens up doors, there might be a time to invite people into your home. Or especially in the summertime around here, have them over for a cookout in the backyard. And you know, in expanding our dinner table to invite guests over like that, we have an opportunity to display the hope that is within us and
yes.
how we treat them and how we welcome them into our home, but also build that relationship, deepen that relationship so that the doors of the gospel might be flung open.
It is way more powerful than simply... cold turkey evangelism
yeah.
with people on the street. I mean, you get to know somebody. You know, you get to know who they are. You know their names. You can talk about shared interests. You probably have some, you
yeah.
know, and it could be really good for the gospel. Like, they can see your life. I've seen this too, both in our experience and in the experience of Christians that I know well, where they build this relationship. It seems like it's going nowhere, right? They show Christian hospitality. Then that neighbor falls into crisis, and all of a sudden, they know where to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they hear the gospel, they're receptive, and they, you know, it can be precious.
I think it's great. Yeah.
And that's because of hospitality.
Hospitality.
Yeah.
Yes. It's important to show hospitality, of course, among the body of Christ, but it's also important to show it to our neighbors.
Yeah.
And God can use those for gospel opportunities.
Wouldn't you say, though, Pastor Thomas, that it's... especially the household of God. Like, shouldn't there be do you think that there should be a special emphasis on the family of Christ?
Yeah. I fully agree, and some people bristle at that sometimes because they're saying, when you say that, you're saying you should love unbelievers less, or you're relegating them to some kind of second class status, but we're family.
Family.
And God has given us the family of Christ. And we're to love and care for one another in a particular way. So there, you know, when we have believers in our home, there is a deeper, more profound fellowship there. We have this eternal hope. We're fellowshipping in the Spirit, knowing that this life is but a breath. We're you know, if the Lord tarries, we're going to pass away, but our fellowship will continue into eternity.
That's good.
So we have that hope when we get together. It's like a foretaste of heaven.
Good explanation.
With really unbelievers, good. There's a love, but there's a deep desire to see them change. Yeah. We want them to come to Christ. We want them to be part of that family.
Right.
So there's a different disposition. We love them. We care for them. We show hospitality. We're genuine. We're warm. All of those things. But our ultimate hope deep down in that relationship is that, God, please give me the opportunity to speak the words of life to them and change their heart.
Yeah. The invitation is the same. It's just at a different place.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, I'm inviting you to come in and experience the love of Christ with me. You know, it's just that you're further away from that.
I had an experience many years ago a community in Canada. It was the Punjabi-speaking Sikh community. I got invited to come. It was very interesting. It was like a Christmas program that they wanted to do, and it was a different religion. It was a different perspective. They kind of respect Jesus as a historical prophet, but they wanted me to come see this musical program, and I got to know some of these people, and they were incredibly nice. And I remember telling another Christian brother I was with, it's like, I really want these people to come to heaven with me. You know, I really want to see them there, because there's this desire to see, I wish they would come out of the darkness into the light of Christ and God do a work of grace in their hearts. And so, you know, that should be our desire when we're fellowshipping, you know, we're showing hospitality to unbelievers.
And the Lord may use that powerfully. Yeah. So good.
As we wind up the program here today, I want us to do two things. We've got this in the notes here. Maybe share a time that you were impacted by receiving Christian hospitality, how God used that in your life.
Yeah, so one time, I hadn't thought of this question before, and it just popped into my head. I was driving across Pennsylvania. I was in my 20s. I wasn't married yet. I was going to speak at a missions conference, and the timing belt on my car went out, and I was stuck. And I was really poor in those days, and I didn't have means to, I didn't know what was going to happen. I did have AAA, you know, so I called the host family that I didn't want to impose on them, and I was feeling kind of sheepish, and I was supposed to speak the next Sunday. It was Saturday, and I was supposed to speak that following day. Well, the pastor said, why don't you see if AAA will tow your car to my house, and I'm a mechanic, and I'll fix your house, and you can stay with me all weekend, and we'll just have a nice time about it. I didn't want to impose. He's a pastor. He's got to be busy, you know, but he insisted, like he strongly insisted. And, you know, I talked to AAA or whatever, and they towed my car there. And, you know, I preached all Sunday night, did my thing, had great fellowship around his table. That next Monday, he and I went to the auto parts store, bought the timing belt, and we spent all day, and he showed me how to do it, and it was really awesome.
That's cool.
And I left there so blessed, you know, that this brother had put aside his day to help me. He had no onus to me. He didn't have to do any of that, you know, but he did, and he did it just because he loves the Lord, and he loves the Lord's people.
So it was good.
I left wanting to do that.
Yeah. So I'll share a story. This was, about 14 years ago in Russia when we were there, that we were out. I was out in the Far East. I was circuit riding with a pastor. There was this one pastor that wanted me to ride through all of these villages for 3 weeks while he visited Christians in remote places. And these were areas where there wasn't, maybe there was a village with 3 or 4 Christians. You know, there wasn't anything established like a church. And We had been going, and I was just toast. I was absolutely wiped out. And we drove for like 8 hours to this little village because there was a husband and wife, and they were the only Christians there. And the pastor who I was with, Saeed, I was asking him, I said, do you actually even know if they're at their house? And he said, no, I don't. They may not be there. And we showed up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and that couple was so thrilled. And they were just ecstatic. They were in bed. They got up out of bed and started cooking us food at 1:30 in the morning. And we sat around the table until like 3:30 and talking and fellowshipping. And then he said, I'm sorry. It was a one-room house. It was one room, one big room. And he said, but I have some tents and I have some little pads.
Oh, awesome.
So he put tents out in the yard and he put pads, and I had no trouble falling asleep. And then we got up the next morning, and then he cooked breakfast, you know, he and his wife did, and we fellowshiped some more. I mean, so the joy of just being with other Christians just moved their heart so deeply. They just got up and fixed us a meal at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was so wonderful to see that.
And I bet you went away the same way I drove away that morning,
yeah,
feeling like I had been among family,
yeah,
the people of God.
It was such a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so amazing.
So a challenge to all of our listeners. I'm just going to put this out there. I don't want you to take this as a guilt trip, so don't do that. But think about ways that you can show Christian hospitality that that maybe might be a little bit beyond what you're used to or you know, comfortable with. Pray about it.
Yeah.
And go for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just want to challenge people to show Christian hospitality. Maybe have a family over for dinner if you don't do that very often. Maybe, just try to apply what the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about a relationship out there that you want to deepen. Now, a time that you were able to show Christian hospitality and God used it.
I just jumped.
Well, you just jumped into that. But, you know, some ways that maybe God has allowed you to show hospitality, or maybe it doesn't even have to be hospitality to the body of Christ, but what about hospitality to even unbelievers?
Hmm. Well, I did share the mowing the lawn one.
Yeah,
there just was recently. That one. Maybe you could start.
The things that we've been encountering lately in our own life, so our oldest son, he's got a lot of medical needs, and we've gotten nursing care in the last couple months. And so we have a steady stream, mostly in the afternoons, but sometimes during the day, of personal home health care nurses coming into our homes. Some of them have been believers, but there are some that are not. And when we gather around the supper table in the evening, they're usually sitting there with us. And, you know, we go through our routine. We pray before our meals. We offer them food. A lot of times they bring their own food. We always do our family Bible time after we have our supper, and we read and we go around, and all the kids will say something they're thankful for. And, you know, we say something we're thankful for. We'll invite them. It's like, do you have anything you're thankful for, want to show gratitude for, anything we can pray for you about? And I think for some of them, it's, you know, a completely new thing, but we want to show them hospitality. We want them to feel like they are welcome in our home, even if they may not believe the way that we do. We want them to feel loved, valued, and welcomed in our home. And so that's just a very, it's kind of a natural thing we have to do now,
yeah,
you know? Yeah. And so we're striving to do
that's
that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's been good.
The other day I was driving to a meeting in the evening at the church, and I was just on time. I needed to get there. And there was a fellow, this is going to be kind of an interesting story. There was a fellow who was in the middle of 57th Street on a wheelchair, clearly disabled, in his 30s probably.
Yeah.
And at his feet was a dog that had been hit by a car. Oh. And cars were driving around him. Yeah, you know, they were just moving around him. I don't think people were just being mindful. I don't think people were being mean. They just didn't know what was going on, and they just went around. But I could see the guy having clearly struggling. And so I stopped both lanes of traffic with my little car. I just turned it sideways. And somebody else did that too. And we got out, and we were able to console this fellow. We were able to take his dog and bring it over to his house, help him get out of the road, you know, those kind of things. It was a quick moment thing, but there's an impulse in me that wanted to just get to my meeting because I had things to do, I could have just kept going, you know, because that's what everyone was doing. But it's like the Lord impressed on my heart that I need to bless this brother, bless this friend by helping him through his heart situation. I think what happened was his dog ran out and he got hit by a car and he was brokenhearted trying to collect and retrieve his dog. Mm. But he couldn't because of all the cars. And so he's just there. And yeah, anyway.
Man. Well, yeah. How many times do we have opportunities to stop and help somebody on the side of the road? And it may mean us being late.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe we just need to be late sometimes.
Yeah, maybe we need to be late
sometimes. Yeah. Good word today. Hey, we have one question. Today it comes to us anonymously, and the person writes, Mark 9:38-40. What are your thoughts on this? And it says, John said to him, to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said to him, 'Do not stop him, for the one who does a mighty work in my name will soon will not be able to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us.'" All right.
I think the gist of that is, just to be super brief with it, is you don't have to feel in competition with other works that are for Christ outside of your circle. You know, you should never feel in competition with them. You should feel on the same team. You're after the glory of God. You're after Christ being exalted, and you should be supportive, not resistant. And they were resistant because they were not of them. You know, they were not in their little circle, and they were resistant. And they didn't need to be. They could trust the Lord that with that person serving Christ in a different way.
Yeah, spot on. Yep, we can trust Christ with that. So good question there. We appreciate that. You can send in your questions, faithsf.com/soundinfaith. You can follow us on Instagram. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. Where else? Elijah, am I missing anything?
Spotify, Apple Music.
Oh, yeah, Spotify and Apple Music. Boom. Yes. Subscribe, share, all of those good things.
See you in 3 weeks.
Yeah, see you in 3 weeks. We're going to take the next 2 weeks off. And
Pastor Thomas is preaching this Sunday. You want to be here. He's shared with me some of the things he's going to say. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to that. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain. Boom. Awesome verse. Yep. Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.